Because we're human, we all shy away from death. C.S. Lewis, the world-known theologian, wrote in a book just before his death. He said, as I write these lines, I'm looking at my hand. And he says, it's hard for me to believe. It's hard for me, difficult for me, to imagine that the hand that I'm looking at someday will be the hand of a skeleton. Today that has occurred. C.S. Lewis is no longer among the land of the living. Brother G.C. Brewer, a noted gospel preacher among us several years ago, wrote an article in the Gospel Advocate right after he had been informed by doctors that his days on earth were numbered. Brother Brewer wrote this article, and he said, as I stand looking now on the brink of the grave, he said, somehow the imagery and the figures of speech that I have used through all the years to paint the word pictures about death, he said, somehow the imagery, those figures of speech, they're not quite so comforting, not nearly so reassuring. Mankind, one and all, shrinks from the unholy specter of death. And why is that? Why do we do that? Well, it's because to us, death represents the end. Especially of all that we hold so dear, mainly our existence on this earth. And yet Jesus came to the concept of death and he changed it. Jesus took death in his hands and he altered its meaning when he said in the passage that you just heard read, he told his disciples, John chapter 12, he said, a seed, a grain of wheat, if it does not die, it abides alone. It's all by itself. But if it does die, it brings forth much fruit. You know, seeds are a very interesting study. I don't know if you've ever spent any time thinking about seeds, but the tiniest, the most shriveled up, ugliest things in the world are seed. But locked within the cover of that tiny kernel is all of the power and the might and the majesty of God. And from that tiny seed, when the cover breaks, new life comes forth. But it's all trapped inside that little seed. But a series of inert ingredients, and when conditions are right, it'll spring forth, and the ugly becomes beautiful. And the seemingly dead pops forth in new life, blossoms in new life. That's exactly what Jesus was talking about. He said, you take a seed and you put it up here on the shelf and you leave it there and you don't ever do anything with it. You don't let it die. He says it will produce nothing. They've opened up the tombs of the pharaohs. They've found seed 4,000 years old. But you know that seed never has had any fruit that has come from it. Because it's never planted. It was never died. Never multiplied itself. It's been dormant throughout the centuries. But Jesus said if you took that seed and if you put it in the ground. He said it'll die. And after a little while, you can come back and you can dig up the spot where the seed was, and it's not there anymore. Because it has sprung forth in new life above the ground. It's blossomed above the ground. And there's new growth, new life. He said that's what a grain of wheat's got to do. It's what a kernel of corn's got to do. That's what a seed has to do. It has to die if it's ever going to bring forth life. God's way, God's nature is that life comes from death. Death leads to life. But Jesus, I don't think, in John chapter 12, was so much concerned about seed and sowing and reaping crops. He wasn't giving an agricultural, horticultural lesson for the day. Jesus had much deeper things in mind. So if you read on through the passage, he says of himself, you get down to verse 32, he says, "But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men to myself." Jesus spoke this, John declares, signifying the manner of death that he was going to die. And so when we see Jesus on the cross, we don't see someone who just died any old way. But he said, "When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to me." Jesus was giving the bitter truth. I must die. Oh, they acclaimed him a king. They waved the palm branches in front of him. They laid them down in the path as he was going into Jerusalem. They took their garments off and they laid them down like a red carpet leading into some world premiere of something. They were giving this kind of honor to Jesus as he rode in on that donkey. And as he went into Jerusalem, the people were shouting, "Hosanna! Hosanna!" And the authorities, the Pharisees, they were in a rage about what were they going to do with this man who was literally stealing the world from them. Jesus said, "You don't understand." He said, "I didn't come to sit on the throne. I came to die. I came to die. But when I die, I will be most successful in death. I will be lifted up in death. I will draw all men, all people to me in death." Jesus, who died on the cross, was planted like a seed. Now, he was hung on a cross between two criminals, between two thieves. But he was planted like a seed. If you remember, he was buried in a rich man's tomb. Matthew chapter 27 declares that Joseph of Arimathea came and begged for the body of Jesus. And he laid him in his own brand new tomb. The tomb, the grave of a rich man. Matthew also records in Matthew chapter 12, verse 40. One occasion they said, "Lord, give us a sign. We want to know the sign that you really are the Messiah." Jesus said, "There's not going to be any sign going to be given in this generation except the sign that was given in the prophet Jonah. For Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Even so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Jesus was saying, "I gotta die. I'm going to die." And we've separated ourselves from that kind of death. Through the centuries, we have euphemized what it means to die on a cross. We've cast it in bronze and silver and gold, and we wear them around our necks. We decorate our church buildings with them, and we put them out on the highways, and we build them up on the mountains. And they've become an aesthetic point of beauty. But behind the beauty and the facade of all of that was the ugly revulsion of death. Somebody had to die. Jesus said, "I have to die." And when he died, they planted him. They buried him. And from that planting, he came forth on the third day. He rose on the morning of the first day of the week to bless this world forevermore. That's why the Apostle Paul could say in 1 Corinthians 15, he said, "Let me tell you about the gospel. Let me deliver to you the elements of the gospel. We received and we delivered to you that which we also received. How that first of all, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. How he was resurrected on the third day according to the scriptures. Moreover, brethren, he said, I deliver unto you the gospel which I also received, the gospel that Christ was buried and rose again. Paul's giving us the real central facts of the gospel. Jesus had to die on the cross. He had to be buried and he had to be resurrected. But there's another fact that it's not so easy for us to understand. We can get it about seed and we understand it about Jesus, but he wasn't just talking about corn. He wasn't just talking about wheat having to die to bring forth life. He didn't just refer to himself and say, now I have to die for you to live, but he said something they probably didn't want to hear and we really don't want to hear today. He said disciples must die. Disciples must die. John chapter 12, verse 25, he said, those who follow me must die. The man who will hold on to his life will lose it. But the man who will give away his life will keep it eternally. Elsewhere in the 16th chapter of Matthew, Jesus said, let a man deny himself, pick up the cross, and follow me. What he's saying there is a disciple must die. You want to follow me and live, but really you've got to follow me and put your own likes and dislikes and your old person behind you. Pick up the cross and follow me. You follow me by dying. That's why he said what he said to Nicodemus, John chapter 3. He said, Nicodemus, you've got to be born again. You've got to be born of the water and of the Spirit. You've got to be born from above. You've got to be changed internally, externally, totally. Nicodemus, you don't need to just become an improved man. You've got to become a brand new man. You don't become a better man. You become a new born man. That's why in Romans 6, which is the passage that we normally go to refer to baptism and what baptism really is. Paul says we're buried with Christ in baptism, wherein you're risen with him. We rise up, Paul says in Romans 6, to walk in a newness or in a new life. But I think there's something that we probably don't pay enough attention to in Romans 6. In that same 6th chapter of Romans, 17 times, count them, not right now, but find the opportunity, count them. 17 times in 23 verses, Paul says something either about death or about dying. And he wasn't talking about a physical death. He wasn't talking about grabbing a gun and putting it up to your head and pulling the trigger. He was talking about the kind of dying that we need to do to become a child of God. You see, it's one thing to say a person needs to be baptized. That's evident through the entire chapter, Romans chapter 6. It's evident through the book of Acts. It's evident through the New Testament. But it's quite another thing to realize that all of the baptisms in the world are really meaningless. Unless there is a prior death of the person prior to the baptism. Now, let me say that again. All the baptisms in the world are meaningless. We're just getting wet. If there's not a prior death of the person before they're baptized. The reason a Christian doesn't go on sinning is because that person died. The reason a Christian doesn't reach out and live their old life is that that person died. The reason they don't have the same goals, the same ambitions in life, is the old person died. And when they're good and dead, Paul says you ought to bury them. And you bury them in the waters of baptism with Jesus Christ, and then you rise up from that baptism, not just improved, but you rise up from that death and you walk in a new life, a newness of life. But you don't bury somebody. You're not ready to be buried till you die. And that's why Jesus said, except a grain of wheat fall to the ground and dies, it lives alone, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. If you want to bear fruit, if you want to be somebody else, then the old person within you's got to die. We preach baptism, and we need to. But we also need to preach death. We need to preach death. And this death comes in the change of life. It comes in the change of mind. It comes in repentance. It comes in the change of a person's whole being. And when a person's ready to do that, when a person's ready to make that kind of commitment and say, it's no longer me, but it's you, Lord, then he's ready, she's ready to be buried. She's ready to be baptized, to die with Christ, to be buried with Christ, to be raised with Christ. But you see, first, you got to die. Now, baptism's important. Now, please don't mishear me. Baptism is essential. But so is the repentance, the death that goes ahead of it. And it's the hardest thing in the world to kill yourself. It's the most difficult thing in the world to say, it's not what I want anymore, but it's what Jesus wants for me. It's the hardest thing to say, I prefer it to do it this way, Lord. And he says, but this is what I had in mind. Jesus calls for that kind of death in conversion. He called for that kind of death in commitment. And that's what he meant when he said, you'll have to deny yourself, take up the cross, and follow me. They wanted to march to Jerusalem with him. They wanted to march into the throne room and sit on the throne of David, on the right hand and the left hand. They wanted to experience all the joys of being in power, but they didn't want to die. Jesus said, follow me, come follow me, and die. Now, if we can understand it about a grain of wheat, if we can understand it about Jesus, surely we can understand it about ourselves. We must die to ourselves. So the question this morning is not, are you willing to be baptized, or have you been baptized? As important as that question is, and as I've already stated, it is important. It is essential. But that's not the important question I'm talking about this morning. The important question that Jesus talks about when he commands that he that believeth is baptized shall be saved, when he commands us to be buried with him in baptism, there is a great, magnificent assumption that goes before it, that you've got to die first. You got to believe the difference is worth living. And if you're not willing to die, you're not ready to be buried. And if you're not ready to be buried, you can't rise, be raised to a new life. I knew a preacher that spent a good portion of his life conducting gospel meetings across the country. And he liked at the end of the year, he'd actually send out a little letter and he'd tell us, this is how many meetings I preached and this is how many folks I baptized. And this is what... And he kind of quit doing that. A friend of mine saw him and asked him, said, didn't get your letter. Said, how's your meetings going? He said, meeting schedule's still going great. Said, well, how many people have you baptized? He said, I haven't baptized nearly as many the last couple of years. And he said, why? What's happened? He said, well, I realized I needed to be saying more about repentance And he said, I started preaching on repentance. And he said, I've baptized a lot fewer people because they weren't ready to make the commitment. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, then you lay down your life. You give up what you want and you take up the cross and then you can follow me. But you've got to die first and you're not ready to be buried until you're ready to die. And then you'll be raised up. So the question this morning is not, are you willing to be or do you want to be a member of the church? Because if you do, all the things that the Bible talks about and all the things that God commands you to do in Scripture, then the Lord will add you to the church like he did in Acts chapter 2, verse 47. So that's not really the question. Question's not even, are you willing to do a lot of nice things? Because there's lots of folks do lots of nice things. The question is, are you ready to die? Are you willing to die? Are you willing to give yourself for Jesus? Are you willing to give up your personal rights? To say, it's no longer my way, Lord, but it's your way. The thing that we miss many times, and the thing that I think causes people to look back and say, what happened? What did we miss? Why did the conviction not last? We missed the funeral. We missed the burial. At the baptism, we missed the burial where a person was saying, it's no longer me. I give up my rights. I'm going to put myself, the old person within me, I'm going to put them to death. And I'm going to live for Jesus. That's how you become a new creature. That's how you're raised up to walk in a new life. If you go to the seed store today, you're going to find a packet. Beautiful little packets. But inside those pretty little packets are the ugliest little seed you've ever seen on the inside. But they have the most beautiful pictures on the outside. Have you ever noticed that? And on the outside, you see beauty, and it's got to be that way because if we bought seeds by virtue of their beauty, we'd buy a precious few seeds. But they want you to know what that little seed will produce. You see that lovely plant on the front of the envelope. You see that beautiful, lovely flower that blossoms in the springtime, and you say, I want that. I'll buy that. And so you buy a promise. That's what you buy. You buy hope and a promise. And you get home and you open up the seed packet and you see those little tiny shriveled up seeds, but you know that inside of them God has coded within those seeds everything that's needed, that if you will do your part, if you'll go plant it and if you'll water it, springing out of that little seed will be the most beautiful life, the most lovely life that you've ever seen. God has told us there's an old person in you. And oh, what the beauty, how beautiful he could be, how sweet, how lovely she could be. But you've just got to plant him. You've got to plant her. You got to let him die. But there can never be that beautiful new person in Christ until there is the death, the decay, and the burial of the old person with Jesus. Jesus bids us, he invites us, come and die. Follow me, pick up the cross, and live my way. Will you do it this morning as we stand and as we sing?